A book review. The book, Leading the Assembly in Prayer, a Practical Guide for Lay and Ordained Presiders. The author, Michael J. Begolly, B-E-G-O-L-L-Y. Turning to the preface, we learn what this book is addressing. 40 days after Christmas, the church turns its gaze towards Easter with the celebration of the Feast of the Presentation of our Lord. On this festival of light, the epiphany of Christ's coming continues. Christ is the light of revelation to all peoples and nations. Simeon foretold the Son of Righteousness was destined for the rise and fall of many. Anna spoke with great hope about the birth of this child to everyone who looked forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. History confirmed what God's wisdom revealed. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. 45 years after the Second Vatican Council, we celebrate the ongoing renewal of the liturgy as the source and summit of our life of faith. We rejoice in the Council's clarion call for the faithful to participate in the liturgy, fully aware of what they are doing, actively engaged in the rite, and enriched by its effects. There are prophets of doom who see the Second Vatican Council as the source of every calamity and disaster in the contemporary church, and who predict even more troubling times if the renewal continues. On the other hand, there are men and women of hope who see the breath of God's Spirit in the reforms of the Council, a Spirit that continually renews the church and the face of the earth. Like Anna and Simeon, we are invited to peer through the haze created by the flickering candles and the smoky oil lamps around us. With eyes of faith, we recognize the light of Christ in all its paschal glory, a pillar of fire leading us through the desert to the promised land. As the pilgrim people of God, we move forward, knowing that there is no turning back. We trust that God will continue to lead us into a future bright with promise. We move forward with zeal and patience. It is in the spirit of faith that this book was revised. With the proclamation of new texts such as Build of Living Stones, 2000, The General Instruction of the Roman Missal, 2000, and Sing to the Lord, Music in the Divine Worship, 2007, and recent revisions to Sunday Celebrations in Absence of a Priest, again the year 2007, this book needed to be modified. Some things were added and others changed. The promulgation of the complete Roman Missal in English will necessitate further changes in the future. And now we move into excerpt from the book itself. The excerpt is titled The Historical Background to Conciliar Reform. The renewed emphasis within the Church on the liturgical assembly is due to the European liturgical movements that preceded the Second Vatican Council. The liturgists of the French school, in particular, had a significant impact on conciliar and post-conciliar reform. The work of these scholars was characterized by a careful study of the Church's liturgical traditions and by a pastoral concern for the Church's life of worship. This pastoral concern helped to turn the focus of the liturgical movement toward the liturgical assembly. A key figure in this movement, Aimé Georges Martimort, that's M-A-R-T-I-M-O-R-T, argued that both the concept and practice of assembling underwent a significant decline over the centuries. With the conviction that the 20th century church had lost a sense of intimate connection between the liturgical assembly and what it means to be church, Martimort set out to retrieve a sense of the tradition of the assembly. Recalling the biblical tradition of the Kehal Yahweh, or Assembly of Yahweh, Martimort saw the assembly as a sacred sign of God's presence among the people. The Old Testament assembly was characterized by four distinct elements. Number one, it was convoked by God. Number two, when the community gathered, God was in its midst. Number three, God spoke a living word in the assembly. And number four, the gathering ended in covenant sacrifice. Martin Mort viewed the assembly within the Old Testament as a foreshadowing of the church. The assembly of the new people of God, Christ, who sends his heralds to proclaim the word in the gathering of the church, convokes this new assembly. Since the church is itself the body of Christ, head and members, the very act of gathering is a manifestation of God's presence. In the assembly, the new covenant is sealed in blood, the blood of Christ poured out for the forgiveness of sin. For this reason, the liturgical assembly is the most expressive manifestation of the church, its true epiphany, for it shows and reveals what the church is. As he began to look at the early traditions of the church, Martin Mort noted that the community has come together for prayer since the beginning of the church's history. Gathering for worship was a hallmark of the Christian community. Moreover, liturgical prayers were always formulated in the plural. This, Martin Mort asserted, emphasizes that the presider either speaks in the name of all gathered or is involved in a dialogue with the people. The people surround the altar. It is for them that the word of God is read. The presider designates them as offering the Eucharistic sacrifice with him. Because of these traditional characteristics of communal worship, Martin Mort contended that the most basic element of liturgy is undoubtedly the assembly, the gathering of the people. As a sign or epiphany of the church, the liturgical assembly is the church in action, the church becoming itself and expressing the fullness of its being. It is through the liturgical assembly that the church lives out its mission to gather all people into one. The liturgical assembly, therefore, is not an optional gathering of the church. It is a gathering that is essential to its very existence. Neither is liturgical gathering reserved to a spiritual elite. The liturgy must gather together all God's people. All are called to participate. Martin Mort notes that active participation must be intelligent, devout, and interior. It demands a religious attentiveness. The faithful's right and duty to take an active part in the liturgy is founded on the sacrament of baptism, whose character, according to St. Thomas Aquinas' teaching, deputes one for divine worship. It follows that in the liturgical assembly there are no spectators, only participants. Another scholar who studied the assembly in biblical theology was Thierry Mertens, Mertens. His work suggested a significant development in the concept of the assembly from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Mertens emphasized the association between the assembly and the risen Lord, who seeks to unite all things in himself. The risen Christ introduces a new kind of assembly centered on himself rather than localized in the temple. Gathered in spirit and in truth, the people listen to the word and share the meal. They are then sent on mission to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to invite others into the assembly of God's people. The early Christian assembly was further characterized by the relationship of the liturgy to the daily life of the community. That is, the liturgy both forms and expresses the life of the faith community. Finally, it was emphasized the liturgical assembly is an image of the final assembly of all God's faithful in heaven. Summarizing the contribution of these and other scholars of the pre-conciliar period, Catherine Vinci, V-I-N-C-I-E, notes three major areas of focus in their work preceding the council. The first was to clarify how the liturgical assembly and its worship relate to the life of the church. Several scholars pursued and developed the concept of the liturgical assembly as a sign of the church. A second issue was to clarify the characteristics of the assembly, including its communal nature and the corporate nature of liturgical prayer. All are called to active but differentiated participation. Not all do the same thing, but all have essential roles in the liturgy. The third, this pre-conciliar work exposed the presence of Christ in the liturgical assembly and in its actions. A retrieval of the biblical sense of the assembly allowed Martin Mort, Martens, and other scholars of the European liturgical movement to recover the assembly's significance and centrality in the liturgy. Both the conciliar and post-conciliar reforms reflect the influence of their work by upholding the liturgical assembly as a primary liturgical symbol. And I think that gives us an idea of what is in this book. As you can see, it's rich in tradition, background, and history. And not only that, when you look at its content and the table of contents, we really realize that this is a book that every presider, anyone who deals with liturgy, should really have. Part one of this book is presiding within the liturgical assembly. And the first part of that is the liturgical assembly, which we were just discussing. Part two, the ministry of the presider. Part three, preparing to preside. Part four, a spirituality for liturgical presiders. And we go into part two now, section two. Section two is presiding at specific liturgical celebrations. And here we have five, Sunday Eucharist, sixth, Sunday celebrations in the absence of a priest, seven, liturgy of the word with children, eight, order of Christian funerals. And there we have it, a very handy book, a good reference book to have in our library. Amen.